Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Magnificent Monday to you. It's so good to be with you once again live on the Cale Clark Show all around the world. And you can call me right now, wherever you may be, 1-888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, studio line to talk to me for free. You can also, of course, email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Always grateful to get your emails and your show ideas, questions that you may have that we can talk about on the air. You can also follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. And of course, it is September the 12th. I can't believe it. I can't believe we are almost halfway through September. And today, of course, is a very special feast day. It's a Marian feast day. We have so many of them. So great. We can never get enough of Our Lady. And today is the feast of the Holy Name of Mary. So we got some really good insights about that later on in the program. Does Mary's holiness detract in any way from God's holiness? When a lot of non-Catholic, and you may be listening to the show, you may be a non-Catholic Christian listening to this and say, hey, what's up with this, the Holy Name of Mary? Let's talk about God. Does this not detract from the holiness of God? Well, not at all. Not at all. We'll talk about that later in the show. But first of all, I want to say this. A lot of people have been asking me, what on earth was I doing in Chicago? I was posting a lot of stuff on Twitter. If you check my Twitter feed, you'll see a really fun picture of the group that I'm calling the Three Amigos of Relevant Radio, myself, Drew Mariani, and Patrick Madrid. We were able I had never met Drew Mariani in the flesh before last week. I was really happy to do that. In fact, I was just on Drew's show. Drew had me on for a little segment earlier in the day, so if you missed that, check the podcast for Drew's show. That was a lot of fun. But that was the first time I met Drew. And of course, Patrick I'd met before, but we got to hang out a little bit and break bread together. So I posted a picture of that. You can check it out on my Twitter feed at Cale Clark. And some of us from Relevant Radio went to the Jen Fulweiler comedy show. Again, that was a great time. We had some thoughts on that too. I met Peter Atkinson from the Merry Beggars. And of course, the Night Train, On the Night Train. You can now get that. Episode number one is out. Sign up on relevantradio.com and on the app. So basically, we got together. Father Rocky wanted to bring everybody together from the company. And it was amazing because no matter people who live in the Chicago area, the headquarters of Relevant Radio, people who are associates who maybe are flung far and wide like me, guess what? Every single person who is an associate with Relevant Radio made it to Chicago last week. It was a first in the history of Relevant Radio for the day of formation. And it was such a great thing. And I really want to thank Father Rocky, if you're listening, for organizing this, because I enjoyed this a lot. And I wasn't there because I had to be there. I really enjoyed it. I really got a lot out of it. And in fact, I got so much out of it. Now, Father had brought in these very special speakers to give us some talks about various things. I wanted to share what I learned with all of you. So to that end, today's episode of the Cale Clark Show features a very, very special guest, Preston Alex. He calls in from time to time. I know he listens to the show a lot. Preston Alex, CPA, who is one of the VPs here at Relevant Radio. He's kind of the controller. That sounds very, wow, that sounds almost manipulative. He's the controller of the company. But no, that's to do with the finances of Relevant Radio. I'm just kidding. But Preston Alex joins me live from the headquarters of Relevant Radio in the Chicago area. Preston, thank you so much for taking the time. How are you?
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hope we can talk about some money matters.
We will. And, it's funny. I heard a preacher give a talk about this, and it's funny that you mentioned money matters, because he said, if you read through the Gospels, Jesus talked a lot about finances. He talked a lot about money matters because money matters. So let me ask you this, Preston. Now, you gave a great presentation to all of us at Relevant Radio last week about kind of financial management, personal finances from a Catholic perspective, how to have a healthy relationship with money. What would you say that Scripture says about money, Preston?
So I would start by just looking through the Gospels, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll mention a few here. Just like in the 19th chapter of Matthew. So Jesus meets some rich man who says, "How do I get to heaven?" And Jesus is like, "Follow the commandments." And the guy's like, "Got that done." And Jesus says, "Okay, great. Now sell everything and give to the poor." And that was too hard for the rich man to handle. Mm. And he went away unhappy. And then in that same chapter, Jesus says it'd be easier for a camel to pass through a needle than for a rich man to make it to heaven. Mm-hmm. And so like this there's this dichotomy going on. Jesus often says you need to denounce all your possessions. You need to make sure you're serving God first. You can't serve both God and mammon. So he's just got this continual referencing kind of money in a negative way.
Hmm.
So it's kind of interesting. I think it makes us want to think deeper on that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Preston. And by the way, that account of the gospel, especially in Luke's gospel, Luke actually uses the word for a surgical sewing needle. So people sometimes say, well, he wasn't talking about the actual eye of a sewing needle, something that small. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He's actually talking about something called the Needle Gate in Jerusalem, this big kind of doorway in the gates of the old city. That's actually not true. That's an urban legend. We'll maybe talk about that another time. But Luke actually uses the Greek word for a sewing needle. I think as a physician, he would have used that to stitch somebody up, and I think he found that really intriguing. So he mentions that detail. And so, yeah, we kind of do get this sense, don't we, that money is something to be kind of avoided. But is there something else going on here, Preston? Is there something a little bit deeper that we should be looking at?
I think so. And the way I would say it is that there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. At least that's how I define it. So here's how I define it. A rich person is somebody that is greedy. They're attached to their possessions. They're anxious. They think that they don't have enough. They feel down when they see that they're lacking something, and they kind of are always trying to hold more and gain more so that they're protected from the future, and they're always kind of thinking about themselves. And I'd say a wealthy person's a little different. They're embracing generosity. You know, they're not so worried about what they have, and they feel content with what they have. They think that they have enough. They care about what others need. They make sacrifices for others, and they're prudent about how they give. And ultimately, I think a key characteristic is they trust in God's providence and trust in God for their future rather than what they can control.
That's a really interesting way to put it. My guest is Preston Alex from Relevant Radio. Preston Alex, CFA. CPA, rather.
CPA.
Certified Public Accountant. And he is a VP of Accounting and Finance at Relevant Radio. And by the way, if you have a question about Jesus and money matters, you have a question for our guest, Preston Alex, you can call in right now, 888-914-9149. And Preston gave this incredible presentation to all of us at Relevant Radio about this very topic last week. I thought it was so good that I wanted him to come on and share this information with all of you. And I like what you said, Preston, about the difference between, the way you put it, there's a difference between a quote-unquote rich man and a quote-unquote wealthy person, and the way that they look at these resources. My friend Cardinal Collins, who's the Archbishop of Toronto, he's kind of made it the whole theme of his ministry, Preston, to talk about stewardship. And he talks about stewardship of time, talent, and treasure. These are things that God entrusts to all of us. In different measure. We don't know how much time we have. It's like withdrawing coins from a bank. You don't know until you get the last coin that you're done. We never quite know when our last moments on earth are. So it's really important to stay in that state of grace, but to be a good steward of time, to be a good steward of the gifts and talents that God gives us, but also of the resources that he gives us. And so I want to really get you to explore a little bit more about that. And just in context of what you're saying, how a wealthy person isn't necessarily a person who has a lot of money. Could you kind of expand on that a little bit? You told a story about a Mexican village in an American corporation when you gave the presentation. I'd like you to retell that for our listeners here on the show.
Yeah. I would say that someone who's considered poor by government standards could be wealthy in mind and heart and could be content. And so how can someone in a village in Mexico that is crazy poor still be joyful and happy? And I think a story I shared, yes, there's a corporation that built a factory near a village in Mexico, and they were really excited. They offered a lot of money to people that would come and work there, and they found that people would come and work for a day and then would disappear, and these workers were very unreliable, and it happened to be not because they were lazy or bad workers. It's because one day's wage was enough to last several weeks for them.
Wow.
And so the American corporation went back to the drawing board and decided to start sending everybody in the village weekly shopping magazines and ads for credit cards. And all of a sudden, people started showing up for work and filled all the job openings because they changed their mindset from, what they had to what they don't have. And were they richer after they started working all these extra hours? Sure, they were richer, but they were not wealthier. And I would say they weren't happier either. I think the reverse of this would be like the Christmas Carol Scrooge, where he has a ton. And then by the end of the story, he's realizing that the true happy journey would be to be giving away his wealth and be thinking about others and to focus on his relationships. So that I think helps to illustrate how this difference between rich and wealth, wealth is the focus on others and being generous, whereas the rich man is more about self and hoarding their money and being attached to things.
And of course, they're not necessarily happier for doing that, for hoarding. Right. Just like Scrooge, right? And of course, last year on Relevant Radio, the Merry Beggars did a Christmas Carol, and that was an incredible Advent radio play that they did. And you can go to relevantradio.com and check out the brand spanking new radio drama On the Night Train from the Merry Beggars. That was a shameless segue into a plug for the Merry Beggars, but I had to do it. I had to do it because you mentioned Scrooge. But I think that's an incredible anecdote that you just told, Preston. My guest is Preston Alex from Relevant Radio, VP of Accounting here, talking about the relationship that we should have as Catholics with money and the difference between being quote-unquote rich and quote-unquote wealthy. And that story that you told about once these guys figured out, hey, these are the things I could have if I worked more, they became very materialistic, very avaricious, which is exactly the kind of attitude that we don't want to have. So Preston, how can we change? How can we change to have more of a mindset of what you would call wealth?
So, I think the key attribute here is generosity. And here's why. Number one, Jesus tells us it's better to give than to receive. So he's just setting it up straight up. And in Matthew 6, it goes into this dimension that money causes anxiety. So we need to trust in God. And that's very important. But then when we are generous, there's something psychological happening on our own. It's we're so attached to something that we need. If we say we need something, we need it for our survival. Our brain is saying you can't let this go. And you become attached to it. Now, if we give it away, something happens inside our brain. We completely change. We're like, well, I didn't actually need that. I gave it away. If I needed it, then I would have kept it. But because I gave it away, I don't need that. And the more we go through this process of giving things away, the more our brain is like, oh, we don't actually need things. We don't need to be materialistic. And we can physically change how we see things in our mindset about things. And all of a sudden, we're happier. We're more content with what we do have. One of my favorite stories kind of about this is Saint Bernadette when she's a child. She lived in extreme poverty. She had a large family that lived in a one-room bedroom in a basement of a jail. It was just incredible poverty. And when she would get her meals, she would often take a majority portion or all of her portion and give it to her younger siblings. And they would kind of push back and say, you need to eat too, Bernadette. And she said, no, I have enough. I have enough. And by the, standards of the world, she had nothing, but she had joy and she had enough because she realized the importance of giving. And so I think that's a good inspirational story for all of us to remember. I'm nowhere near as generous as she is, but I think it's important for us to remember the goal.
I have enough. I love that story of St. Bernadette. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Once again, I want to give out that phone number for you to call the studio line. If you have a question about money matters for Preston Alex, my guest today, you can call in right now, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Well, I want to get specific with you, Preston. We got to take a little break right now on the show, but I really want to drill down and get real practical. I want to talk about one thing that we can do to kind of put our financial lives in order. I guess you could call this a Money Monday episode of the Cale Clark Show. I'll be right back with my guest, Preston Alex, right after this. Hang tight, 888-914-9149. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the show on this Monday. My guest today is Preston Alex, CPA. He is the VP of Finance and Accounting at Relevant Radio, and so happy to have him on the program because we're talking about money matters from a Catholic perspective. All of us have been entrusted with some form of resources. We're entrusted with time, talent, and treasure. And how do we use it in a way that glorifies God and helps to serve Him, the kingdom, and other people? And Preston, just before the break, you told a beautiful anecdote about Saint Bernadette, about generosity and trust. And I think very often, Preston, we kind of operate with a scarcity mindset. And you talked about how giving kind of changes that. A lot of us think that even when it comes to the workplace, let's say, oh, for me to win, somebody else has to lose, or something like that. And this kind of mindset when it comes to finances leads to hoarding and avariciousness. But when we give, we find, you know, I really didn't need that much after all. And it just kind of changes our hearts. And I just really wanted to thank you for sharing that story. And if you have a question for Preston, by the way, you can call in 888-914-9149. And I want to just pivot right now, Preston, to something a little bit more applicable, a little bit more practical. It's all practical, but let's get into the nuts and bolts of how we can work this out in everyday life. I want you to give me one thing we can start doing today to help ourselves to be better stewards of the financial resources that we've been given.
So I think one key thing that everybody should be doing is creating and following a budget.
A budget.
So, yes.
Say it ain't so.
Budget. I know. Some of you out there are probably cringing right now at that word, and some are like, yeah, I got this. But I think it has to be a key component to our financial life. Absolutely. It's very hard to know if you're doing well or not without a budget. So I'm going to recommend that everybody do that.
You know, some folks out there probably when they probably treat budgets like the way some politicians treat budgets, but that's probably not what we should be doing in terms of overspending. Yeah. Let me ask you for some advice here, Preston. On
sure.
Okay, if you've never, I'm going to ask you to tell a story that you told actually to all of us at Relevant Radio, which I thought was really funny, from your own life. If you don't mind sharing a little bit about your own life.
I don't mind.
Talk to us about how you became sort of Dr. No, and then things really didn't work out after
we'll
that.
We'll talk about my initial experiences with budgets, for sure, personal finance, right? So I have 8 kids currently, so I've had to learn this a lot over the years and get a lot better at it. But when I was first starting out with my wife, I managed the finances. It made sense. I was the accountant. I got a degree in this. I paid all the bills. I was tracking things. I had the budget. I was ready to go. And I was the one that you know, my kids would come to, hey, Dad, can I get this toy? Or my wife is like, hey, do we have money in this budget for, you know, going out to eat tonight? Or, you know, can we buy this or go to this place? And I'd say, oh, no, it's not expensive. No, you can't get that. No. It felt like I was the no man in our family.
The no man.
And then I decided that's not very fun. No, it's not. So I became the yes man. And then I became the sad man because I had no money after that. So,
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
It was rough. So what I realized is that it's not enough for me to know everything. It has to be a team effort with my spouse. And it wasn't until my wife and I sat down and we started going through things together and we started agreeing on what we should say yes to and what we should say no to, was it that we both, you know, grew in our knowledge of, you know, our financial management, but we got a lot better at it. And instead of it was just me or her saying no or yes to things, we're doing it as a team, and it was far more successful. And so I highly recommend to anybody that's out there first starting, sit down and say, hey, we need to budget. Make sure that you get your spouse on board in any capacity that you can. And that's, I think, a key component to success.
Yeah, I found that really intriguing, Preston, because I remember, I mean, when I was in the Protestant seminary, before I came back into the Catholic Church, I took some courses on counseling and how to prepare people for marriage. And as you probably have heard also, and you might even know this from experience, a lot of couples, they fight about money, and the cause of a lot of separations and tragically divorce in our culture, it's because of financial matters. And so I think it's really important for couples to get on the same page when it comes to this. And I think working out a budget together could be a really practical way to do that. But also, one of the typical sort of marriage pieces of advice that I've heard over the years is that is kind of what you were alluding to earlier. It's sort of division of labor. If somebody is sort of an expert in one area, they should sort of handle that area. But when it comes to finances, you're obviously saying that's not a good idea. Even if your spouse isn't an accountant by trade, it's really, really good to make decisions together in this area, right?
Right. And part of the reason why this is the case is that managing money is not all that difficult in terms of knowledge. As much as I love to think that everybody needs an accounting degree, for personal finance, you really don't. I think the bigger piece is discipline. Making sure that you're sticking to the budget is a lot harder than creating the budget. And so those pieces where you're working on that discipline together is why that's important. You can't just say, I know how to do this. You also need to say, I want to do this, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. My guest is Preston Alex. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. If you have a question for Preston about personal finance from a Catholic perspective, 888-914-9149. And this might be a rudimentary question, Preston, but I don't necessarily think that it is. I did my undergrad in business, and I remember taking classes on accounting and corporate finance and all that sort of stuff, but they never once taught us. One of my big complaints is that we were never taught how to manage our own personal finances. There was no course in personal finance when I was in business school. And I think a lot of people could probably call in with the same kind of experience. So when we talk about budgets, let me just ask you a very basic question. How does one, or how does a couple together, as you would say, start working on a budget? Where do you begin?
So I would say to start with your paycheck. Actually, go to your bank statement, see what money you're getting into the bank for a month.
Okay.
And so you need to know your income. You can't know how much you can spend until you know how much you have in the bank. And then you're going to need to know all your fixed expenses. So your fixed expenses are rent, mortgage. They would be utilities are fixed in the sense that you have to pay them every month.
Yep.
Your phone bill, your internet. You could even include your subscriptions to your all the different things that you subscribe to. Just things that are coming in and pulling out of your bank account. That is something you have to know. The debt payments, and so once you know what these fixed expenses are, the things that are absolutely going to have to be paid, then you can know kind of what they call your discretionary income. So that's going to be your income minus these fixed expenses. And then your discretionary income is something that you can now start allocating to what I would say is the most important two things, which would be food and travel.
Gotta eat.
Food is gotta eat. and you got to get to work.
I thought you meant international travel.
No, not travel. Gas.
I thought, this guy likes to
public
go to desert islands.
No, travel would definitely be in the extra expenses category, and certainly something that can be included in a budget, but. Everybody's budget is going to look a little bit different because people are at different stages in their life. And I think it's important to remember that if people have a lot of debt, especially credit card debt, and they don't have a lot of savings, their budget's going to look different than someone that has a lot of financial peace and stability in their life. So if a person doesn't have financial peace and stability, they need to cut expenses. They need to look at this budget, and they're going to start living a lot more scarce in terms of what they're buying, until they can get. And the nice thing is, this is only temporary. Until they can get to a point where they have a nice emergency fund, until they have their debt paid down, and then they can start saying, "Oh, okay, now we can take that vacation because we have some money set aside for it, and now we can start eating out more frequently, or." Any number of other things that they want to spend their money on. But the key part is to realize that there's some things you have to pay money for, and then you have to set money aside for, childcare and insurance and, your own entertainment things, the personal spending, these things all matter. And there's different ways to categorize them and kind of plan accordingly, I guess. But the key is to do it together and don't run out of money at the end of the month. Set money aside for when you set money aside for giving, and you set money aside for retirement, when you set money aside for, a savings account for disasters such as, car problems and things like that. That's when you can start living a little bit more free with the money that you have remaining.
I like it. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest is Preston Alex. We're talking about money matters because money matters. It's something that we have to have good stewardship over. And you can call in 888-914-9149 if you have a question, 888-914-9149. Let's go to the phones right now. Olga is calling from Van Nuys, California. Hi, Olga. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to share with you that my husband in our home, also my husband has the best ability, reasoning to speak numbers and all those details. Okay. And we had an experience, one of our closest friends, her husband passed away, and mom didn't know how to handle that. So my husband's purpose is to help me avoid, to be more aware of what's happening at home. He wants me to get involved. He's asking for my help to do it, and it's, for me, it's very painful to do that job. The bookkeeping is so difficult to do it, and, the consistency of it. It's easy to do it, but it's the consistency of logging in every little detail is hard for me to comply to it, and I would like some tips. How can I help out my husband in this?
Thanks for asking that, Olga. What do you say, Preston, when a couple actually tries to collaborate on this stuff? What's some good advice there?
I can just speak to kind of some of my own personal experiences. So I handle budgeting a little bit differently than my wife. So I come from an accounting background, so I have all the debits and credits and every dollar lined up in a spreadsheet, and I was I was master of that spreadsheet, and my wife could not. She's brilliant, but she cannot follow what I was doing. It's not something that it's not even that she needs to be an expert in it. It's just, I had my own way of doing it. And so I'd say the person that's currently doing it needs to take a back seat and let the other person kind of do it their own way. My wife likes, she liked to print off off the internet. If you go to Dave Ramsey and Google anything about budget, she did this awesome thing with paying off debt and pictures, and she'd be able to fill in the picture as we made payments, and that got her motivated. And it wasn't something that appealed to me, but that was something that really connected with her. And when she created the spreadsheet and she could follow it, it made sense to her. We ultimately could just go through and say, okay, we need to spend X amount of dollars on our mortgage every month. In my spreadsheet, it goes here. In hers, it goes here. So for the first month, when you're first doing the budget together, you might have kind of two side-by-side budgets working together just so each person can see how it works and the process. And then, you know, I understand that sometimes people don't want to do this. It can be boring. It can be frustrating. It can be a headache. And so I can totally empathize with that. However, there are some benefits to doing this together. Maybe you can just say, hey, if you help me out this week, you know, we can put an extra $50 in your personal fund. You know, whoever does the extra leg of tracking some of these expenses gets an extra $10 in, you know, fun money for the day. You know, things like that. You can kind of reward each other and kind of just, you know, have a little bit more fun with it on that side of things. I think that can sometimes help and make it a little easier.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I remember my dad used to tell me this all the time, that you have to have sort of some money set aside for fun. I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, I thought you're almost going to call it funny money there for a second, but it's true that a little bit of a treat, if you will. So you're an advocate of that.
I think you have to have a little bit of that. My wife and I, you know, each have a little bit of a personal fund like that every month. And we keep track of that very closely because it's, you know, our own. And
why is yours $1 million and mine is no? But no.
Well, that's a nice thing about doing it together is that you can see what the other person's personal fund is. And that I think is sometimes motivating too.
I like that. You can't fudge it. All right. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show. My guest is Preston Alex. We're talking about financial stuff from a Catholic perspective. 888-914-9149. Here's a question that a lot of people ask. I'm going to go to line three right now. Alice is on line three, also from California, from Brea, California. Hi, Alice. What's your question for Preston?
I guess my question has to do with when your spouse is in meet eye with you in terms of financing. I feel that I have done a very good job in terms of budgeting and financing and paying everything. I purchased real estate, you know, of course, with both of us agreeing on that, you know. We manage a real estate portfolio, but the thing is that he always feels we don't have any money, mostly because I manage the money, and I don't want that to be the situation any longer. I really want us to work together. We're now senior citizens. We have a nice portfolio of real estate with equity, but my husband just feels like he doesn't want to get involved with the financing, and he always feels that we can't do anything because we can't afford it.
Okay, well, thanks, Alice, for that question, and sounds like you're in the car, so drive safely. A lot of people listening in the car, of course, on Relevant Radio. We're always happy to have you call in, as if you can do so safely, and use your Bluetooth device, but what do you do? Sort of a twofold question. I want to piggyback on Alice's question too, Preston. So let me ask you this. Number one, what do you do when your spouse doesn't want to work on a budget with you or participate with you in this? And number two, what do you think about joint accounts? Do you think that it's important for couples to have joint accounts, or should they have their own? What's your take on it? I don't know if there's an answer to that, but what's your take on that, Preston?
I'll start on the joint accounts one, and then I can speak a little bit more to what to do if someone's opposing a budget or opposing talking about these things. So joint accounts, I think that they are very, very important for transparency. You know, I one of the greatest lines I've ever heard is that, you know, sunshine is the greatest disinfectant. So if you have a joint account, no one can hide anything because, you know, all of it's out there on the table with every check and every expense that's charged. So I think there's a lot of advantages there with that transparency and accountability. With that being said, my grandparents had separate accounts. They lived that way their entire lives because my grandpa was an extreme saver and my grandma was an extreme spender. And so he had to protect the money from her spending it. So, you know, in that sense, like, and it worked for them. So I don't want to say ultimately that every person has to have a joint account and they or they're going to fail at life or fail at budgets. I would just say that there is a huge advantage to having joint accounts because of the transparency. And I would say, I would guess that if someone is really reluctant to having a joint account, there may be something they're trying to hide. That's not a guarantee, but I would just say, you know, maybe ask the question, okay, well, if you don't want to join in accounts, can I see what your account looks like? And that's going to be especially important as, you know, as you, you grow in retirement and you need to plan for retirement, you need to know what's in these different accounts. You know, what if your spouse dies? You need to make sure you can have access to those things. Those things are very important. Mm. It gets a lot easier when it's all joint together. So that's what I'd say about that. The other part about what to do if a spouse is really reluctant.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be so specific to every marriage. But one of the things you can just do is to start sharing your feelings. Like, you know, you can just share with your spouse, I really, really feel frustrated that you're not willing to do this with me. And maybe, mm-hmm. like I said, you can even do some incentivizing, saying, hey, you know, did you know how much I'm spending on makeup this last month? You know, and if he says no idea, do I want to know this? You know, but like I'm spending all this extra money that you might not know about. Maybe you should check it out. And, you know, he might pique his interest to say, oh, what is she spending money on? And you can say the reverse of, you know, we do have more money than you might think, but we do have to be a little bit more careful about how we're spending it. And say, hey, if you sit down and do this budget with me, I can show you how you can have an extra $50 for, you know, going out with your friends this weekend. You know, and so some of these things where if you show the positive sides of things, or you say, hey, you might want to know what we're spending money on, I think that might be helpful. And of course, mm-hmm. just share how a person's feeling about it might be helpful as well.
Yeah, and I think it could lead to open up a lot of conversations about maybe other areas of the marriage that might need to be worked on. People might need counseling after this. I think you were listening to another speaker that we had that day at the Day of Formation at Relevant Radio on relationships, because he said what you just said. Hey, when you have an issue, just say, I feel X. You know, when you do this, I feel X. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that talk on another episode of the Cale Clark Show, but that's what you're listening to right now. My guest is Preston Alex. We're talking about finances, money matters, because, hey, money matters. Jesus talked about it, and there is a way to be a good steward of the finances that God has entrusted us with. If you're on the line right now, please stay there. We'll try to get your call. 888-914-9149 is the number to call, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Beverly now in Westchester, Illinois. Hi, Beverly.
Hi. I'm enjoying your program very much.
Well, thank you.
My comment was, after Mom and Dad have settled on the budget, I think you should include the children in on the budget, because I think so many children just aren't wise to spending.
Mm.
The things that are needed to, you know, have a home, have a family.
Yeah.
And that they don't know how to say thank you as much today. And so that's why I think they should be included on the budget expenses, so they will realize at a young age, save a little, spend a little.
Beverly, let me jump in there. That's a really, really good question. I know so many people. I grew up with so many people who would tell me, Preston, you know, my parents never talked to me about finances. I had to kind of learn at the school of hard knocks. My parents never shared what was really going on financially in their lives. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are in that boat too. What would you say about what point do you bring children into this discussion, and how would you do it?
Well, I think the best way to do it is to teach them lessons with their own money. So my wife and I personally do not believe in allowances. I know some people it's great, but for us, what we do is we basically figure out what we want to give for an allowance, and then we have the kids do extra chores to earn that money. Anything else, they have like a standard chore every day that they have to do. Uh-huh. That's like basic. This is what you need to do to be a part of this family. And then, you know, like doing weeding or, you know, helping watch the kids or things like this, you know, the baby, these things are ways for us to give them money. And then we sit down with them and we help them plan, you know, you need to give so much to the church. You need to figure out what you kind of want as a goal. You know, and when they start having a goal and they can start saving money and setting money aside, and then they have like what we call their spending pile, and they can just take that with them. And anytime we go to Target or the grocery store, and they take their spending money, and they just, you know, we don't judge them on any level what they spend their money on, as long as it's like within reason, you know, where it's not going to hurt them. But it helps them to see the money just physically go away. And then they start becoming more responsible with trying to save money just naturally by that process. And so we try to include them that way. We don't bring them into the monthly budget discussion of my wife and I. That's just not personally what we've decided.
Yep.
But,
okay.
That doesn't mean we can't teach good money habits through their own personal spending and processes, you know, with their own life.
Yeah, they're kind of dealing with their own budget as we're. And I like that. And by the way, if you're listening out there, please don't call the authorities. I don't want Preston to get in trouble for any child labor laws or anything. But no, it's fine. Doing some chores and getting, you know, paid for it. It's kind of making the connection between labor and wages. And hey, money doesn't just magically appear. You have to work for it. I think that's an important lesson as well. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show. Got to take a quick break right now. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. We're having a fascinating discussion about money matters with Preston Alex. And we'll be right back after this.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're having a fun discussion about money matters with Preston Alex, VP here at Relevant Radio. And Preston, before the break, we were talking about various situations that come up between couples, even dealing with children, when it comes to money matters. But we have a specific question on marriage here for you, and I'm going to bring on the line now a caller, Patrick from Austin, Texas. Welcome back to the program, Patrick. What's your question about this?
Hey, Cale, thanks for taking the call. I'm glad you brought up joint accounts because I think it's very important, and I think while they may be a good idea, they cause a lot of strife in marriage. But even prior to marriage, you know, there's older people who are getting married now, and people have pretty much made their fortunes and whatnot. So what do you think about prenuptials? Someone wants to marry somebody, and one says to the other, well, you know, I've got all this money that I've accumulated all these years, and I love you, and I want to marry you, but what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. As long as you sign here that you don't want any of my stuff, then I'll be glad to marry you. What do you think about that?
Thanks for that question, Patrick. Hey, Preston, let me ask you, what do you think about Catholic prenups?
Oh, man.
That's a loaded question.
That's a loaded question, yes. I'm on the same page with you. I don't want to get in trouble here, but here's what I'd say. Prenups are pre-planning a divorce, in a sense. And so I would be extremely cautious about wanting to enter into that. Now, here's something else I would say is I think wealth, like real wealth, where a person is generous and things like that, they might be blind to maybe, how do I say this? A person that may not be in the marriage for the right reasons. So I would say, you know, if the wealth that we're talking about is under $1 million, under $2 million, I don't see how anybody could justify a prenup. If we're talking mega wealth, you know, I would not recommend it under any circumstances personally, but you know, I could see why some people could justify that, because there are annulments for people getting into the marriages for the wrong reasons and not truly being open to a permanent relationship. And so I think there's some other considerations, mm-hmm. and I don't want to make a blanket all statement.
Yeah.
Especially on the radio when I don't know a person's personal heart or their relationship or what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I think that is what I would say about it.
That's right. I like that line. A prenup is pre-planning a divorce. Wow, we could almost tweet that one. That's an interesting line. And yeah, and it all comes down to intent. And that's an intriguing question. That's an intriguing question because if you're dealing with somebody who's maybe a Kardashian, you know, they could see why they might be, ooh, what's going on here? Why does this person want to marry me? But of course, the intent is marriage for life. And so it's a full commitment. There should never be a thought of that under normal circumstances. And so thanks for that question, Patrick. It's really intriguing. Let's go now to Maria in Chicago. Maria, thanks for your patience. You're on the line with Preston Alex.
Hi there, Preston. I am a single woman, 68 years old. And for a long time, I've been seeking a financial advisor who has Catholic values who can assist me in managing my money and certainly keeping, you know, ahead of inflation, which is getting higher all the time. Mm-hmm. Here in my city, Chicago, we have one or two panhandlers on every corner, and there are a lot of people out there who don't have work, and they're struggling financially just to eat every day. So I think that rich young man, I think what Jesus told him was give everything away to the poor, not just 10%, all of your money away and follow me. I think that's what he said, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, Maria, let me jump in there. First of all, yeah, that's, we always have to remember when it comes to, one of the things we talked about when we talked about some scriptural mentions that when Jesus talked about wealth, and it's a topic he talked about a lot. There were a lot of people who followed him. We could talk about Nicodemus. We could talk about Joseph of Arimathea, who had financial means. Now, Jesus didn't tell every single person to sell everything they had and give it to the poor, which would be commendable, of course. He told that particular guy that, I think, because wealth was an idol to that person. I think that was the one separate. I mean, he was, as he said, I've been keeping the law, I've been keeping the commandments, I'm faithful and everything, except for this one thing. And that's your roadblock. That's kind of the idol in your life. For a lot of people, wealth is not an idol in their lives, and they're able to be good stewards. There were many women of means who supported Jesus and the apostles on their journey. So I think we have to be careful about making a blanket statement out of that guy, the quote-unquote rich young ruler, which is kind of an amalgam of different things that he is called. He's called rich in one gospel and a ruler in another gospel. And so at any rate, blanket statements probably aren't good here. But the question, Preston, about Catholic financial advisors, should one look for a specifically Catholic financial advisor?
I guess I would be, you know, it'd be great if you found someone that's competent and knows how to advise you well that is Catholic. I think more importantly, though, is someone that understands the importance of generosity without necessarily giving away the kitchen sink. You know, like you said, Kel, there's certain people that have a vocation to poverty, but mm-hmm. by and large, most people are not called to that extreme way of life. And so I think the biggest piece when you're looking for a financial advisor is someone that can help you manage your money well in terms of saving what you need to for retirement, and also keep you in check to make sure, oh, hey, you now have X amount of dollars. You know, is this, you know, extravagant? Is this excessive? Is there something that you would like to do to give more back mm-hmm. to the community, to your church? And when you're not really sure about the future, this can be hard. Mm-hmm. I know that it's hard. You know, she mentioned inflation. You know, if you can get I bonds, they're limited with how much you can get every year, but they're a great way to kind of hedge against inflation. There's different, you know, retirement strategies that a financial advisor can talk to you about those things. You know, and so, you know, the key part here is that you trust the person you're talking to. I you know, I can't say mm-hmm. that enough, but even more so, you trust God. And pray about God sending you someone that you can work with that will work well with you. So maybe mm-hmm. that's what I do. Take it to prayer.
Yeah, that's good advice, Preston. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest is Preston Alex, VP at Relevant Radio of Accounting. And Preston, as we're talking about personal finances here, you hear this a lot in discussions about finance: pay yourself first. But what about paying God first? The concept of in many faith groups, the concept of tithing is paramount. What's your take on that?
Well, I kind of touched on this earlier on, so anybody that missed it can go back and listen. This idea of generosity is so key and pivotal to keeping us from being too attached to money. And I think that's what's more important. And tithing is the process of letting go. And so the more you let go, the more you say, I am someone that is generous, the more you actually let go, the more you become a generous person, the more you become a virtuous person, you know. So I think that's what's most important there. Certainly someone's going to say, well, I can't give that much away because I'm not super wealthy. Well, it turns out that, you know, the most generous people by percentage of income tend to be lower middle class Americans.
Wow.
You know, once people make over $200,000 a year, the percentage that they give tends to half. So it's interesting. On that kind of, I've seen some stats on it that as you become richer, you become less generous. So I think as long as you guard against that, tithing is one way to keep you always in check.
you can never outgive God. That's certainly true.
That's right.
And we see this time and time again at Relevant Radio because we don't sell any products at Relevant Radio. We give things away for free. Like, you can go to Relevant Radio right now and get a free copy of Patrick Madrid's new book, Inquisition, which is a great little book on educating yourself on the Catholic faith. We'll have much more to say about that in coming episodes, and Patrick might even agree to drop by. But we like to give things away for free. I have a friend, a professor, who liked to say, the faith is free. The gospel is free of charge. It's heresy that comes with a price, right? So we want to get the truth out there. We want to bring Christ to the world through the media. And we have quarterly pledge drives, and we have people who sacrificially give. And sometimes it doesn't look like that much, but it is a very meaningful gift because they're giving. And it kind of hurts because they don't necessarily... they're not made of money. They may come from a group where they're, as you mentioned, Preston, where groups that maybe make less income. They are giving a lot, and they really put their heart on their sleeve, and they put their finances where they think it matters. And we appreciate each one of you who gives to Relevant Radio. And we hope that we are allocating all of this wisely for the kingdom, and so. Preston, Alex, I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I hope we can do this again, have another maybe Monday discussion. Money Monday. Right. I said Monday money or something. Anyways, I don't know what I said, but it's been a long week. But thank you for taking time to join us today on the Cale Clark Show. All right, that was Preston. Alex, if you need him. Wow, what an interesting discussion, especially the concept of having a budget. Sit down with your spouse, go through it. It's part of good financial stewardship. Well, an off-air caller called in, and they saw the picture of me with Patrick Madrid and Drew Mariani on my Twitter feed, at Cale Clark. And he said, who's the guy with the beard? Well, that's me. That's me. And my current Relevant Radio picture, I don't have a beard, but I will soon, because we all just got our pictures taken. And, hey, they won't even have to draw it in with a marker. It'll be an actual beard. And looking forward to sharing that with you. And thanks for joining me today on the Cale Clark Show. Timory is up next. Jim produced. Patrick took your phone calls. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.